Good morning, church. How are you this morning? I hope you're blessed, highly favoured, deeply loved. Actually, I'm believing for that, speaking that out. So what a joy it is to be with you again this morning, broadcasting online from Murray Grace Fellowship here in Avis, in the northeast of Scotland. Yes, we're still in partial lockdown here in Scotland, so still not able to meet together in our usual setting, but we are meeting here online. So it's great to have you. Let me read a bit of scripture for you before we start. Scripture I use quite often when we're starting our church service. It's Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the day, as you see the day approaching." Hallelujah. I love that verse. I use it quite often when we meet together in church. There's a implication there of us meeting together, assembling together. But guys, that's not the only meaning of that passage. Assembling means building up, taking together and improving and building each other, encouraging, edifying, exhorting. And that's what we're doing this morning. That's what we're doing whenever we meet online, we in our communion services or our Bible studies. Yes, even in our quiz nights, we're assembling together. We're encouraging one another. So I think that passage is applicable for us this morning, that we're going to assemble together, gather around his word. We're going to take communion. We are going to receive an offering. All the things we normally do in our normal church service. Just that in these strange times, we're just doing it over the internet. So let me pray, and then we'll start. We'll start by getting into his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that we are here this morning, wherever we are. Thank you that we are safe and secure in our homes. But thank you that we're able to gather together on this platform, assembling together to provoke each other into love and to good works. Hallelujah. We thank you for church. Thank you for local church that you instigated, Father, your vehicle for spreading the gospel, for encouraging brothers and sisters. So we thank you for our local church. We thank you for our time together this morning. I thank you that it's going to be a blessing. Thank you that we'll be able to gather around your word. Thank you that we'll be able to receive an offering. Thank you that we'll be able to gather around the elements together in communion to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, Father. In his name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So just excuse me a second. So let's gather around his word. Let's focus on what the scriptures have to say to us this morning. I'm going to restart my mini-series that I started many weeks ago now. I said I was going to start looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. Now, just before that, I'd spent 5 or 6 weeks, I think, looking at the I Will statements. Some fantastic truths there. But now, for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to look at one each week and these I Am statements. What's Jesus saying when he says, I Am? Now, I told you, must be about a month ago now, if we look at commentaries, it tells us there are 7 I Am statements. But as I preached about a month ago, there's that absolutely vital one. You could call it an 8th, where Jesus just says, I Am. Fantastic. When Jesus confirmed his divinity, confirmed that he was the Lord, confirmed that he was God, sorry. Yes, he was man in the flesh on earth, but he was still God as well. Something that really ticked off the religious establishment of the day. So for the next 7 weeks, starting today, I want to look at these 7 I Am statements, all found in the Gospel of John. my favourite gospel. I love the Gospel of John. It's just so full of action, so full of many of the wonderful accounts that we all know about Jesus. It was the first gospel I really got into, my first course of study many, many years ago. The first book I studied was the Gospel of John. It was the first mini-series I preached back in my previous church when I was just learning and training to be a pastor. I preached a little series on the Gospel of John. And I've loved that gospel ever since. So hopefully you'll see the passion I have for this gospel, and you'll get that passion imparted to you as well. So what about these I am statements? Well, I see a pattern, I think, when I look at these statements. Jesus takes something in the physical, and he talks about physical things that people of the day will all know about. Light, doors, shepherds, bread. And then turns it around and explains a spiritual truth. Explains a truth about himself, actually. A spiritual truth about himself based on the picture or the analogy of these common everyday things that the people will know about. Jesus was great at doing that, wasn't he? He spoke in parables. He spoke about barley. He spoke about seeds. And being from an agricultural society, they would all know what he was talking about. And then he turned it around to tell them a spiritual truth, tell them something about himself. Great way to teach. Amen. And when we see these I am statements, we will just see that some of them are staggering. Actually, if you just took them literally and didn't know any of the context, they would just sound so arrogant. But they're the truth. And they all stem from that first one that we spoke about 4 weeks ago. But I am, that Jesus is God. And these all flow from that. What Jesus is saying he is, what Jesus is saying he's going to do. It's all possible because he is God. So they're all interesting, all fascinating. So let's get on with them. I'm going to be reading from John 6 for this first account. And this is where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He'd met their physical needs. Actually, he'd more than met them, hadn't he? They had gorged on the food. The word says they were filled. Now that means just absolutely cram-packed. They were completely satisfied. For now. That's important. I want to talk about that later as well. They were completely satisfied for now. But time passes. And we see them now at the other side of the sea. The people have more needs. It's the next day. People have needs again. So they find them. And this is where we take up our reading. Let's go to the book of John. John 6 verse 25, and I'm going to read to verse 35. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest us thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. Wonderful reading there. Now, when I was studying this out, I had to be careful to stick to the bread aspect, because there are so many truths in this passage. He speaks about doing the will of the Father, not his. Talks about what works are we meant to be doing. I love that. I try not to get sidetracked, but the only work that we need to do is believe on him whom he hath sent. That's believe on Jesus who God sent. That's our works. So much I could teach on there. But what are the spiritual truths we can get from Jesus talking about bread? Well, let's talk about bread for a minute. We all know that bread is a staple diet in many cultures. Wherever cereals are grown, especially wheat and barley, you get bread. But you get bread kind of substances all over the world. Wherever that people get starch or carbohydrates from cereals or plants, they make a bread or a cake type substance. And for many people, it's the main part of their diet. Interestingly, I've been reading the Wolf Hall trilogy again. You know, about Thomas Cromwell, Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn, and the like. And the part I was reading on just on Friday night, actually, was talking about the price of bread being so high due to the high price of wheat at the time. And Thomas Cromwell is thinking about how to manage the wheat supply to keep prices down and therefore reduce the threat of riots. See, people were rioting for the lack of bread. People have to eat. They have to get bread. We need to eat. And in some places, people have to have bread. They must have bread in order to survive. And this, of course, is in the physical realm. And when Jesus would have been talking about bread at the time when he was alive, that was their staple diet. They grew a lot of wheat, barley in that area, a lot of cereals, and ate bread. So people would have been well aware of how important bread is in the physical realm. Well aware of their need for bread for survival. But what's that telling us spiritually? Well, it's really quite obvious. In the spiritual, Jesus is the bread that we need for survival. Spiritually, without him, people are dead in their sins without Jesus. If you're not in Jesus, you cannot survive. It's as simple as that. The only safe place spiritually to be is in Jesus. We saw that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, when I preached about Noah and the ark and that typology and that picture. And we saw that the ark is a picture of Jesus. And Noah was only safe when he was in the ark. That was the only safe place to be. It's a bit like in the world today, the only safe place to be, the only place where you can survive is if you're in Jesus. Physically, without food, we cannot survive. Same is true of Jesus spiritually. Without him, there is no hope, no chance, no life signs, no sign of survival. Amen. Now, while in the desert, see that, after leaving Egypt, the Lord provided manna from heaven for his people. This was a miraculous food source. It was like this flaky kind of stuff that if you gathered it, you could kind of make it into bread or into cakes. And that was provided by God the Father. The Lord provided that to physically sustain his people. And the same is done for us spiritually. By Jesus. The Lord has provided Jesus for us to be provided for spiritually. John 6:30-33. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The manna provided from heaven was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a bit of typology, an analogy You look at the manna, see how it did for the people, and you can see that as a picture of what Jesus is doing for us. Manna was provided from heaven for their spiritual needs. Jesus is provided from heaven, manna provided from heaven for their physical needs. Manna was provided from heaven for their physical needs. Jesus was provided from heaven for our spiritual needs. But you know what? Also our physical needs, of course. Ephesians 1:3 says we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3 says we have all we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Jesus, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. All our needs are provided for by that bread from heaven. And Jesus was that bread. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell them. But they're all just thinking physically, not thinking spiritually. So the people ask Jesus, well, give us this bread. Give us this bread. And that is when Jesus told them about being the bread of life. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And there's another great spiritual truth in this statement, that about never hungering and never thirsting. In the physical, we all have needs. Food and water being some of the most basic. We need them to survive. And in the first part of this chapter, John chapter 6, you can read it yourselves later, we see Jesus providing for those basic physical needs by feeding the 5,000. We all know it's a lot more than 5,000, but 5,000 men. But how long did that satisfy them? How long before they had more physical needs? Well, we see them looking for Jesus the very next day. And they find him. And they say, why did you come over here? Now, I can hear another question being asked there. Not explicitly, they don't say it with their mouths, but what they're thinking is, why did you leave us? Why did you go away from us? We still have needs. Why did you leave us? Now, why did they ask that? Did they want more of Jesus' teaching? Did they want more of his wonderful doctrine? Did they want him to shine the light of the gospel on them? Did they want some of his miracles? No. But Jesus knew why. Jesus said, you're looking for me because you want more bread. You're looking for me because you want me to feed you again. You're looking for me because you want me to fulfill those physical needs once again. The very next day, already after being filled, after gorging, the people were looking for Jesus again to fulfill more of their physical needs. See, we are in constant need of having our physical issues met. We have physical needs and we need them met constantly. Now, we don't really need food every day if we're going to survive. Really, we don't need food 3 times a day if we're going to survive. But our body says it does. We get hungry again, and soon. That is what this account is telling us. So what is the analogy here? What is the spiritual truth we can get from the physical picture? Well, physical satisfaction just does not last. But spiritual satisfaction is here for eternity. Amen. Let me say that again. Physical satisfaction does not last. Whatever it is, we're talking about food here, but any physical satisfaction that you can get does not last. What lasts is things of the spirit. Spiritual things, that's what lasts. Amen. See, no matter how much you eat, how much you gorge, how much you stuff yourself, we have physical processes going on in this body, which means you will end up hungry again sometimes. Some of us sooner than others. You're going to get hungry again. Physical food does not satisfy you for long. You need more and more and more. But with Jesus, once saved, once you're in Christ, you are eternally full spiritually. Completely full spiritually. And that will never just never go away. You should never get hungry again. A one-off event, forever, done. Sealed inside our spirit is everything we will ever need for life and godliness. Everything we will ever need for life and abundance. And that will never run out. It'll never run low. No matter how much you manifest, for example, joy, there is still an infinite amount of joy within your born-again spirit ready to be poured out. You can't use up that joy. You can use it and use it and use it, but there's still an infinite amount there. It never runs out. No matter how much you rely upon healing for your body, that healing never runs low in your born-again spirit. No matter how much prosperity, how much abundance you enjoy, there is still an endless supply on the inside of you ready just to be worked out of that born-again spirit. Spiritually, you are full, and you will be full forever. Spiritually, in this sense, in this context, Jesus talking about the physical, let's transfer that to the spiritual. It's the exact opposite. We should never hunger again, never thirst again, never need another dose of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you a picture I had. I think it was yesterday morning while I was preparing this sermon. It's not sound theologically, but I'll tell you why. But I'm going to give you this picture that I saw. I saw a washback in a distillery. And I found it interesting. You know, Jesus used pictures of things that people knew about. And I think the Lord does that to us. So the Lord gave me a picture of inside a distillery, this great big wooden washback. And it's what's called a bottom filling type of washback. That means that the wort gets pumped in at the bottom. And if you look over the edge, you see the level rising. You don't actually see the wort going in from the top. It comes in from the bottom. But you see that level rising. And what I saw was this level rose and rose and rose. And when it was at the top, it started flowing over. So the wort was running down the sides of the washback. The washback was full and it was flowing over. But as it was flowing over out into the distillery, the washback was always full. See what I'm talking about? The washback was always full, but the wort was flowing over and distributing around the distillery, but that washback was always full. Now, it's not a perfect picture theologically, as my understanding of Scripture is that at my conversion, I was filled. It's not like I'm being filled up all the time. But in this sense, I'm full, but as the fruit of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, and as prosperity and as healing is flowing out of my born-again spirit, that spirit is still full. Now, it's not being filled up from the bottom like I saw in the washback, but it's that picture of overflowing and still being full that I think is important. And in our spirit, we can manifest the goodness that's in our spirit, but our spirit is still completely full, never runs out, it's never exhausted. We never have a lack of joy. We never have a lack of peace. We never have a lack of prosperity. We never have a lack of healing. It's always in there in our born-again spirit, which is completely cram-packed, completely filled of all these good things. We are full, but as we work out our salvation, as we manifest his goodness, the level in our spirit just does not drop. We are still full. We'll always be full. No matter how much we work out of our spirit, no matter how much we draw out, how much we manifest, it's always completely full. In that sense, spiritually, in our born-again spirit, we are never in need. We will never be hungry. We'll never be thirsty. That's an amazing spiritual truth. And that should be enough to satisfy every Christian. There is no need for more, more, more. We shouldn't be praying and asking God for more. I remember there was a phrase going about for a while, asking for the more. What's that all about? There is no more to get. It's in here. All we need to do is manifest it out. Don't even need to top it up. It'll always be full. Amazing spiritual truth. God has held nothing back for us. From us, sorry. God has held nothing back for us. There is nothing more for us to ask from God other than help and getting understanding and belief and get rid of unbelief and seeing that fullness being made manifest in our lives. He does not give us just enough to get by. He does not give us just enough for a day, like the manna. We don't need a double portion, like the double manna that the Hebrews had to get the day before Sabbath. We don't need to pray for a double portion from God. That's another old covenant prayer. He gave us all we needed and more. Our spirit is full to bursting the second we were saved. No matter how much we draw on that reserve, it never goes down. It is never depleted. We are never short of the fruits of the Spirit, for example. Never short of healing. Never short of abundance. Never short of acceptance. If we do feel hungry or thirsty or in need in a spiritual sense, we must be looking in the wrong place or drawing on the wrong reserve. Because there is nothing short in our born-again spirit. Nothing been left out. Nothing been kept back by God. It's all there. All we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. There is no lack in any area. The Word tells us that. Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3, John 10:10. We have all we will ever need already. Trouble is, some of us don't fully understand that. And I do mean all of us. Some of us don't really believe that truth 100%. Some of us still have a sense of unbelief in some areas in our lives. Either that or we'd all be having 100% healing, 100% abundance, 100% joy, 100% peace. We're all needing to work in some areas or other. Many of us are not fully persuaded of that truth. The only way to resolve that is through rightly dividing the word of truth, through diligence in the study of the word of God, through eating and digesting his word, we could say. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them." We are to love his word. We are to eat his word. And that will change our lives. Not that we are eating to fill ourselves up spiritually. It is like when we eat his word, that energizes us to release from our spirits. Release what we already possess. We're not eating his word to gain more spiritually, to get more into our spirit. We're eating his word to release energy, to kind of energize ourselves to get that out. As we eat food physically, we digest it, we break it down, and it releases energy into our bodies. It literally gives us life. It allows us to live physically. Spiritually eating his word does a kind of similar thing. It helps release through understanding and knowledge what we already have in our spirit into our body, giving us life. And this gives us true life. Life in abundance, what Jesus came to give us. That's what we release through knowledge and understanding of the word of God. Eating the word, digesting the word, rightly dividing the word is good for us. It gives us life. And it gives us life in abundance. Now, unfortunately, most of us spend more time eating physically than eating spiritually. But any amount of time in the Word is good. But obviously, more is better. Now, please don't think I'm getting at anybody here. This is not meant to condemn. This is meant to encourage. It's meant to challenge. Don't get condemned about not being in the Word enough. That's not what I'm saying. I'm encouraging you to get into the Word and do it a little bit more. I'm encouraging every single one of us to do that. But whatever time you spend in the Word, my friends, love it, eat it, feast upon it, enjoy it. Jesus is contrasting the physical with the spiritual. Mankind has physical needs, but he also has spiritual needs. I remember when I was at first year university in Aberdeen doing psychology, and we were told about this thing I put on the screen called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, at the time, my spiritual needs were just not on the radar. I just wasn't interested. I actually used to hide from the Scripture Union guys that would come around trying to share the gospel. I'm a bit ashamed of that now. But my spiritual needs were just not on the radar. I just wasn't interested. And I swallowed this Maslow's hierarchy of needs, hook, line and sinker. It talks about us having basic needs like physiological, like sleep and food and whatever. And then once we've got that, we move on to safety, we move on to love and belonging, we move on to esteem, we move on to self-actualization. I really kind of love that. Once we get our basic needs met, we can climb up that hierarchy through our own efforts, through self-development. But when I look at this now, I see a huge and glaring gap in this theory. Spiritual needs. Huge gap. I also know that we don't actually need to do the climbing. We don't need to fulfill those spiritual needs through our own works, through our own efforts. I know that we have a Saviour who does those things for us, makes us perfect in the Spirit if we just have grace, if we have faith through grace in him. So I don't believe this hierarchy anymore. Every man, though, is born with a spiritual part, with a spiritual hunger. We see that all the time through what people strive for and what people search for in their lives. Just look at the countless religions and philosophies and new stuff that's out there that people fall for. Constantly going on to the next new thing, the next new religion, the next new meditation practice, the next new philosophy, the next new yoga meditation technique, whatever. New. That spiritual hunger, people are trying to satisfy that, trying to get that fulfilled with lots of things. But there's only one thing that can satisfy man spiritually. There's only one bread that you can eat spiritually in order to be satisfied, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 6, we see Jesus fulfilling the hunger needs, the physical needs of the 5,000 by giving them physical bread. But spiritually, Jesus is the only way that mankind can have their spiritual needs met. Only way that spiritual hunger can be satisfied. I am the bread of life, is what Jesus said. But he meant it in this spiritual context. And once he meets that spiritual need, my friends, that one time when he meets it, man need never hunger and never thirst again. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word. I just speak out understanding for these seeds that we've just planted. Understanding in the mighty name of Jesus so that these important seeds are not stolen away. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's now, in faith, receive an offering. Thank you once again. A couple of people in touch this week asking for bank details for standing orders and direct debits. Please just get in touch with me if that's what you need. Thank you everyone who are keeping cash for the church, helping us fulfill the needs of others. So we have commitments to keep. Thank you for helping us do that. Thank you for sowing into the kingdom, everyone. Just spoke with Sundar before we came on this morning. He's already run two church services today, so they're now back doing church. They're just not permitted to do communion because of social distancing and contact. So, but it's great that they're back. They're great that they're back in church. And that is one of the things that you can sow into specifically if you wish. If you do a Bax transfer, please say on that that it's you wish it to be used specifically for India. That will be much appreciated. So I want to read a portion of scripture before I receive the offering or pray for the offering. So go with me to Philippians 4 and verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Hallelujah. That word communicating is koinonia. It means partnership. Partner with your physical resources. So this is talking about this church partnering with Paul, physically giving of their resources, giving him money to help him in the gospel. They partnered with him by giving. And what's interesting is that it wasn't just a once-off gift. It was a recurring gift, sent once and again unto my necessity. So bless you for giving and giving again. Thank you. And the next verse we see, it's not just for the good of Paul that the Philippians gave. Paul's telling them, it's great that you give these offerings, but it's really good for you as well. We know about the principles of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. So when you're giving offerings, giving with the right heart, and we'll talk on that next week, giving with the right heart, it's there for you to receive. If you sow with the right heart, you will reap in that area. Hallelujah. So Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for my brothers and sisters that are giving into the kingdom this morning. Thank you for this offering that we are receiving in faith. Thank you for all the people giving into the bank. Oh, thank you for all the people saving cash in envelopes. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you that they are partnering with us. Thank you that it's good for everyone. Good for the receiver and good for the giver. Hallelujah. We receive this offering with gladness and thankfulness. And I thank you, Father, that it will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you all. Thank you for giving. It's wonderful even in these times to continue the work of the kingdom and giving to the saints in India and also to the ministries and the charities that we're supporting here at home. So thank you and bless you for all that you're doing through MGF. Amen. Now, let's focus on the bread of life. Hallelujah. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's take communion together. I trust that you've got your elements ready. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 then. And when he had given thanks, he break it. Oh, sorry, verse 23. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. My friends, communion is all about Jesus. It's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with our sins, other than we're being thankful that all our sins have been forgiven. Communion is not about dragging up your sins of the week, confessing them, repenting of them, old covenant style. No, communion is simply an act of worship, remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, remembering what his body went through in the garden, on the scourging post and on the cross. Remembering his blood that was shed. It's all about focusing on Jesus and nothing to do with us, other than us being the recipients of that wonderful finished work. So let's focus on Jesus as we bring our service to close this morning. Focus on him. Remember him. Remember what he did for us. Remembering who he was, who he is, who he will, who forever will be. Remember that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, his work finished. Let's just remember that and thank the Lord for him. Amen. So hallelujah, I thank you for the symbol of the body of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for that earthly body of Jesus, what it went through. Thank you that he was willing to go through the pain and the agony for us, willing to take our sins upon his body so that they could be forgiven, willing so that we could benefit from that forgiveness. Thank you for the scourging that his body took. Thank you that by his stripes we are healed. Thank you for all that he took on that cross, all our sickness, all our pain, all our diseases, so that we might live in supernatural health. We thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Father, we thank you for the symbol of the blood of Jesus, blood shed once and once only. Yes, Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is coming back again, but he's not coming back onto the cross to shed his blood. He's coming back in glory and magnificence for his church. Hallelujah. Thank you that his blood only needed to be shed once. Thank you that all sins were forgiven, all reconciliation flowed, all forgiveness flowed at that one time on the cross. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, Abba Father, we thank you once again for Jesus. We thank you for his finished work. We thank you for the great exchanges on the cross. We thank you for all that he took from us. We thank you for all that he gave us in return. We thank you that we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. We thank you that we have all we need pertaining to life and godliness. We thank you that Jesus came to bring us life and life in abundance. We thank you that spiritually we need never hunger, never thirst because of Jesus. We thank you that our spiritual needs have been met completely, that we have been fulfilled spiritually, that we can be satisfied spiritually. We thank you for the amazing finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I enjoyed that. I was blessed. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Thank you for being with MGF. Thank you for being part of MGF. Hopefully we'll see you all again very soon. We continue to have our communions daily. We continue to have our Bible study on a Thursday evening. We have various other things as well. Quizzes and whatever. I'm going to be looking to open the Zoom room for prayer as well. So link up with us if you haven't done so already. You'd be very welcome into our communions, our Bible study, our prayers. So thank you for watching. Thank you for being part of Murray Grace Fellowship this morning. And thank you for coming in and helping us assemble together. So I'll say goodbye until next week. So God bless. Stay blessed, be blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved, and I'll see you all very soon. God bless. Bye-bye now.